Okay, Rabbi said, today I'm going to talk about everyone's favorite topic. What's everyone's favorite topic? Mamzer. Mamzer. This week's parsha, it says in the pasuk, Lo Yovoi Mamzer B'Kahal Hashem.
Parsha's teaches Mamzer from a city in Israel.
A city in Israel? Who teaches this?
Ibn Ezra. Yes.
The city, why?
Because they were
Mamzerim. Okay, so we've been waiting the whole year to get to Parashas Kisetze, to learn about a Mamzer. I have here a sefer called Minchas Shmuel. So we used this already a few times before. Not a few times. No.
Who's the author?
Okay, Rav Shmuel. No. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Rav Shmuel, you want to pronounce me? Chof, Aleph, Shin, Chof, Resh, Aleph, Mem, Nun. Kirshenbaum. You come to figure out how to pronounce his name. Kashkirman. Kishkirman, Kirkishman. 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 He is the Rav of Kehilas HaSfaradim Beatlanta, Georgia. Okay, the Rav Kehilas HaSfaradim Beatlanta, Georgia. He wrote this. It's a two-volume sefer. I understand it's been around for many, many years. It's recently republished. It was recently.
He gets in the papers.
Recently, three volumes. It was condensed into two volumes. It's a collection of. It's a likut. He's a very fantastic malachite. He collects everything you want to know on any given topic. So in these two volumes, he has a collection, I would say about 20 topics, and one topic is Mamzer Leor HaHalacha. A Mamzer in the light of Halacha. It's Siman Vav. It's quite a big section. I only got through, I would say, less than half. So let me just try to present to you some things that caught my attention. Some very just very simple yesoides. Simple as some ideas that he presents here. First of all, I'm jumping around because not everything I was able to grasp, not everything is appropriate for the purpose of this shiur. Okay, first of all, I came across something which is totally shocking to me. It's a prima garden. Now that we know, what?
Before you start, first, maybe we should define.
What is a mamzer?
Right, to define.
Okay, very good. A mamzer in the Gemara, it's a machlokes in the Gemara, what produces a mamzer? First of all, we have to know, a mamzer, lo yovei mamzer b'kahal Hashem, a mamzer is not allowed to marry a Yisrael, a Levi, a goes without saying a koyein. A mamzer can only marry a mamzeres. And the mamzer basically cannot marry. That's his basic limitation. On the other hand, a mamzer can be a talmud chacham. A mamzer can have a fully active life. Ad kedekach Chazal say that a mamzer who is a talmud chacham has kedima before a kohen gadol am haaretz. The holiest man in Klal Yisrael is the kohen gadol. The holiest one in Klal Yisrael is the kohen gadol.
And the Kohen Gadol is given
the greatest honor, but a Mamzer, who is a Talmud Chacham, has Kedima. So it goes to show that a Mamzer can live a full, productive life in Klal Yisrael, and this Haishno has Nafka Minas. I'm jumping around now, because you brought up the question, before we actually define, as we come to define, there used to be a minute where you should call it, that a Mamzer should be called a Kedar. You ever hear of this? The name of the mamzer, it was customary in some communities to be called, if those communities where the rabbanim had power, shlita, over things that took place, to call the mamzer by a name that would be very clear to the hamoinam that he is a mamzer, so no one should marry him. No one. Kidor ta'apuchoy sema. Kidor is a nutrikin for the word kidor. Tahapuchois hema. They are a generation that is perverted. that is corrupt. So any man who marries an Aisha Sish, who has an affair with a woman, let's say a classic example of a mamzer, a woman who is a married woman and fathers a child, that's a clear-cut case of a mamzer. So this mamzer is not allowed to marry mainstream. He only can marry a mamzeres. And their children who also have the status of a mamzer, which only can marry mamzer, which is an extremely small, limited number of people. So in order, people should be aware, watch out. Do not allow such a person to marry into Klal Yisrael. They call the person by a name that was that says it all. This man is a mamzer, stay away. And the name they would customarily give a mamzer was Ki Dor, which is short for the first two words of the pasuk. Ki Dor, they are a generation, Tahapuchois, that is corrupt, that overturns Hema. Kidor, that was his name. So there are many poskim that say that's not the right thing to do, because we have a principle that a name brings upon a person a certain success or failure in life. Who you're named after has enormous influence, has a lot of power and influence. You name a person after a tzaddik, there is a hope that that tzaddik should be basically what we call the guardian angel on that neshama. You name a child after a grandfather, you name a child after a tzaddik, that person is a cousin, a person, Rahman al-Islam, dies young, so there's a question, should you name a person, should you add a name, in order that it should not be a perfect same, because you don't want their chas for shom, for there to be a bad mazel upon the neshama of a child. So the poskim say that it's not a debate, if you should name a mamzer kidah. On the one hand, it's important for the community to be aware that the person is a mamzer, so they stay away. On the other hand, if you're going to name him Kedar, you're injecting into his neshama a bad mazel. You're injecting in him, this is a person that's tapuchos, a person that's not success, not worth. What did this neshama do? He didn't do anything. Just because his parents did an avera and produced him, he did not do anything wrong. He can live a full, productive life of yirah shamayim and come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu and be a bin and have a chilek in olam haba. So it's true, he's not going to be able to go and marry into Klal Yisrael. So rachmana litzlan, there are people that don't have children, okay? There are people that don't have progeny. That is a reality in this world. That's such a mitzvah. But there are people like that. So this person, he will be from those people, but it does not take away from the fact that he can, has potential to be a very great person. And if you're going to give him a name that has a bad omen, you're not doing him a service. So this is a very interesting thing, which is new to me over here, this debate, to be sensitive to it, mamzer amaretz, because you do find such a concept that a mamzer, has kedima before a kohen gadol amaretz. Now, someone mentioned me very fasting. What?
Advertising from the community is like the ultimate. We're worried about his name.
Well, he's a very big danger. He's a danger to the community because he is not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. If people do not know that he is a mamzer, he's very easily able to slip through, and people are not going to ask too many questions, and they'll see he'll come to shul, a nice, tall, good-looking guy. Ah, is a good shidduch for someone. Don't ask too many questions. You know, it's not, you know, you're people in shidduchim. Some people don't ask too many questions. You're Jewish. You don't start looking around to make trouble. So that's a very big problem, because this person is a mamzer, and it means all of his children are mamzerim, and no one's going to know about it. And in fact, there's a medrash, a very frightening medrash. We don't know what this medrash means. It says in the medrash, every 70 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a dever. Every 70 years, Hashem brings a plague, and many people die. Why? To purge. Hashem, by design, does it to purge the mamzerim from Klal Yisrael. And he does this in order not to embarrass the mamzerim. This is a bizarre, I mean, I'm not making this up, this is something that's very bizarre, and tzaddikim also die. Tzadikim die, Hashem covers up the fact that there are certain people in the community who are mamzerim. You would never know they come from mamzerim, and they have to be removed from Klal Yisrael to preserve the pure yichus of Klal Yisrael, and that requires Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring a churban, and many people have to suffer. This is a tzorachim godel ad ma'ot, what this man chazal means. On the other hand, there's a chazal that says that when Mashiach will come, and the tzaddikim of the generation will go and examine the yichus, and it will be discovered that there are mamzerim in Klal Yisrael. So it says in the chazal that there's going to be a special choyro hashah, that Hashem is going to say they're okay. They are okay. Hashem is going to be mater. Hashem will be metaher the mamzerim. So the obvious question is, how do you reconcile these two amori chazal? Mitzadeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not metar mamzerim. Hashem every 70 years he brings a dever, a plague, and he purges the mamzerim from Klal Yisrael. Mitzad sheni, when Mashiach comes, Hashem says he's going to be metar the mamzerim. Well, the Farish Apost, the Pasuk says, Lo yovei mamzer bekal Hashem. How do you deal with that? So these are just questions which there really is no answer. I'll tell you a riddle. Someone told this to me yesterday. I told him, any Torah on a mamzer. So he told me, yeah, there's a riddle. The riddle is, it says, this is a very, very bizarre, Avos did Rabbeinu Nosson. The Avos Rabbeinu Nosson says that a mamzer is not allowed to enter Yerushalayim. Did you know this? A mamzer, anyone who knows for a fact that he is a mamzer, he's not allowed to enter Yerushalayim.
And a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to go out.
Oh, excellent. The halach is a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to exit Yerushalayim.
To exit.
So there's Chazal also say that if you have in front of you a mamzer Talmud Chacham, and a Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz, to whom do you give kavod first? To which one?
Right.
Who goes first? How could it be? The mamzer can enter Eretz Yisrael, and the Kohen Gadol can exit Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. So how could it be? This is the riddle. What's the answer? I don't know the answer.
There is the gate.
So what does he say?
I don't know.
So someone told me the answer is, there are exceptions. The Kohen Gadol is allowed to leave for Kiddush HaChodesh. The Rambam says, there are exceptions where the Kohen Gadol indeed is allowed to leave. Alright, it's an interesting riddle.
He goes to visit his mother in the year,
Ari Miklot. That's Ari Miklot. Yeah, his mother.
So there are a lot of mamzerim.
Okay, now, what exactly is a mamzer? Okay, what exactly is a mamzer? The Gemara talks about different types of forbidden relationships. According to Rabbi Akiva, if not mistaken, anytime a man marries a woman who is an Isser Loisase, a woman who is not allowed to marry as a Lois, for example, who are you not allowed to marry as a Loisase? Machzer Girushosai after she marries someone else. Let's say a man divorced his wife, and his wife remarries. And then she gets divorced from her second husband. And now she wants to go back to her first husband. So it's Aser. A man is not allowed to take back his first wife, when she already remarried. Let's say he doesn't follow the halach and he does it anyway. So he is a chayef karis? Definitely not. It's a loisase. Let's say he has a child. Is that child a mamzer? So according to Rabbi Akiva, yes. According to Rabbi Akiva, in any situation where you violate the loisase, it's a mamzer. If a koyin marries a grusha, and there are many cases like this out in society, people don't follow the halacha, a koyin marries a grusha, they have a child. According to Rabbi Akiva, those children are mamzerim, a product of a...
That's according to
the Rabbana. We passed like about 20 to bring out the point. But anyway, according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, any forbidden relationship which involves a loisase, the product is a mamzer. We don't follow that lahalacha. Because if we follow that lahalacha, we would be in a lot of trouble. Rather, we follow halacha only when it's a chayvei kresus. Chayvei kresus means with its chorus. For example, incest, brother, sister, eshes, ish, mother, son. Anytime you have a relationship where the relationship is a chayvei kores, again, brother, sister, son, a child and a mother, father and a daughter, or an eshes, ish, a married woman who has, a woman does not get a get, this is the real problem in America, where a woman has a halachic marriage and she does not get a halachic divorce, and then she remarries. So when she remarries, she's still technically married to her first husband, because the marriage to the first husband in some situation was halachically valid, but there was no divorce, halachic divorce. So she's really still married to her first husband. So the product of that marriage would be called a mamzer. So Imam's halacha l'maisa when it's chayvei kresos. Okay, let's say a man and woman are not married. They're not married. There was no kiddushin, and they're living together. They have a child. That's not called a mamzer. That does not have kedusha of being married, but that's not called a mamzer. The only notable exception to this rule is a nida. If a man has relations with a nida, he is chayiv kores. Let's say he has a child with his wife, who is a nida. His wife never went to mikvah. And he has relations with her, and they have a child. Is that child kares and mamzer? So you would be inclined to say it is, because chayve kares, it's a special gezeris hakosuf, that it's not a mamzer. So halacha l'maisa, even though there are opinions that say in the Gemara, Tanoim, that every chayve kares is a mamzer, we do not pass like this. We pass in only when it comes to kares, and only, and the exception, of course, is a nida. Okay, let's go to discuss some other things. A mamzer does not have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, therefore, anyone that was in the midbar that was a mamzer, if there was such a thing in Yitzias Mitzrayim, they do not get a chelik in Eretz. So that's also what we mean that when the land will be redivided at the time of Mashiach, mamzerim are not included. At a bris mila of a mamzer, according to some, you do not recite the bracha, the second bracha. You make the bracha Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvosa V'Tzivanu Al Hamila, but you do not recite the bracha Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvosa V'Tzivanu Al Hachnisai B'Vrisai Shel Avraham Avinu. Why don't you make that bracha? I don't know, but that's what it says over here, according to some opinions. One thing is for sure, you do not give him a bracha. You do not say Lekeinu L'Kavaseinu Kayem Es Hayelet Hazeh. That is not said, because we don't want mamzerim. Interesting, I told you, this is a very interesting thing. On the one hand, a mamzer can have a full-fledged life, but it's an uphill battle. He's fighting against being a society. Yeah?
So a woman, a Jewish woman, is married to an non-Jew and has a kid.
No, that's not a mamzer. That's not a mamzer. Because there's no chiv kares. That's a chiv loisase. Kodesh. A Jewish woman being married to a non-Jew is an Isser Asay. It's in Parshas Kiseitze, I don't know, it's in the middle of Kiseitze, somewhere in the middle, maybe the third Aliyah, Kiseitze, this week's Parsha.
Not going to mikvah.
What? That's a chi of Kores. That's a chi, a woman, a Jewish woman. Who did not go, what? She's a nida, so we just said that. She's a chi of Kores, that's the only exception. The only exception to a chi of Kores, for where there's no mamzer, is a nida. Is a nida. If a Jewish woman has a child and she did not go to the mikvah, the child is not a mamzer, even though she was chayiv kares for what she has done. A Jewish woman who has relations with her husband,
to a Jewish man,
whether they're married or not married, it's chayiv kares. It's a chayiv kares. If two Jews are living together. That's a big problem today. You have two, a man and a woman, they're both Jewish, and they're living together, and they're not married. So some of these women, they want to go to mikvah. Because they are aware that what they're doing is the chiv kares. So even though they're not going to get married, they don't want to get married, they just want to live together, but at least they want to diminish the severity of the sin of having relations outside the framework of marriage. So the mikvos have a problem with this.
How do they know?
What? Ring. Well, they know. They stand know.
In Israel, I know that I've seen married women without rings on.
They go to the mikvah. They let them in.
Without rings.
So it depends on the mikvah. There are many mikvahs that Rabbanim will not allow. I'm telling you as a fact, will not allow a woman
in America,
and Eretz Yisrael also.
They changed the rules. They went into the Bagatz, and they said it's no one's business to ask.
Yeah.
And you can't stop them.
So that's under the Rabbanut. And what about a private mikvos?
I don't know if there's any private.
There's no such Eretz Yisrael private mikvos? It can't be.
No, the private mikvos now, they came out with a big attack on any mikvah that takes money from the government.
I can't believe that in Eretz Yisrael there are no such thing as private mikvos.
Is there an Indian of Nida? So again, Jewish women married to a non-Jew.
Marry is, doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference.
What does that mean?
It means her going to mikvah is not going to accomplish anything. There's no need for her to go to mikvah just because she's living with a non-Jew.
And she wants to go to
mikvah. I don't know for sure, but I don't think there's any point. There's any point in going to mikvah.
I don't think she's doing
anything. She's not Romanese. She's not Romanese.
She lives with a non-Jew.
There's no Easter of mikvah.
You're better off living with a non-Jew.
Then what?
Then having a non-Jew, right?
I don't think there's any benefit.
That woman lives with a Schwarzer. Excuse me. Whatever, with a guy. So the kid is not a mamzer, is he?
No, it's not a mamzer. No, it's not. It's not.
So if a Jewish woman wants to have a relationship, she should go to a non-Jew rather than with a Jew.
That's right. Because the curse. I mean, I don't know if it's right.
It's a Shiloh.
That's right.
Moshe.
All right, let's go further. We're running out of time. Let's discuss some of the yanin.
When did they make this decision that a woman who doesn't go to neither, it's not a mamzer?
The Gemara, it's in the Gemara.
It's a back.
It's in the Gemara. And I think it's a Gzeres HaKos. The Gemara is a drasha. It's a drasha that a woman that is a nida, even though there is a chiyuv kares, that's an exception to the rule. The child is not a mamzer.
All
back to the Gemara. It's a Gzeres. I think Gemara dash is a pasuk. Gemara dash is a pasuk. It's an exception to the rule. It's a very important exception. Okay, now. Dealing over here with the Shaila Brismil. The Brismil of the Mamzer is very, very different. Brismil, now, you know, talking about society. Today we live in a society where you're not allowed to ostracize, you're not allowed to push away. But it's very interesting. A Mamzer in Halacha is really fighting an uphill battle. A Mamzer in Halacha mitzad echad, a Mamzer talmud chacham. But yet a Mamzer doesn't get a Mishaberach. If he gets an Aliyah, it's interesting Shaila, you get an Aliyah on Shabbos. Yamoid Ruvein ben Shimon. Hamamzer. Ma'asim Chodyom. Right? They give him an Aliyah. They give him an Aliyah. He's allowed to get an Aliyah. Mamzer is a Yisrael. He gets an Aliyah. There's no question about it. He gets an Aliyah. No question about it. He has the right to get an Aliyah. And now he says, "Nu make a Mishaberach. Here's $1,000 for the shul. Make me a Mishaberach." Sorry, buddy. You can give the shul all the money you want. There's no Mishaberach for you. Do not make a Mishaberach. You know, we talk about a lawsuit. Can you imagine over here this next slum? I mean, there are probably lawsuits like this. Can you imagine for the Nisayan? I'll give the shul $1 million. All you got to do is make a Mishaberach. What's a Mishaberach already? The minug is, you don't make a Mishaberach for a mamzer. Because you don't want mamzer in Klal Yisrael.
Does mamzer have yichus?
Yichus? So this is a major machlekes apoiskim. Can a mamzer eat truma? Can a mamzer whose father is a kohen and a mamzeres, can they eat truma? Is it a cholol? What?
He's not a cholol.
He's a mamzer. It's different than a cholol. A mamzer who marries a mamzer, a kohen.
Not as a kohen.
A mamzer never gets only as a kohen. He gets only as a Yisrael. But can the mamzer, is he called a kohen? L'may nafkamina kovayin. You give him kovayin. You give him truma. Can he eat truma? Machloikis apoiskim. This is a major machloikis apoiskim. He has a lot of stuff on this. I didn't get through that stuff. He has a lot of stuff on this. Okay, that's another thing. So bris meal is different. Now it's very interesting. He brings on a prima gadim. This is very shocking to me. Prima gadim says that we know where to register that a man is, let's say, yes, he's bar on an eshesish. Clear cut, he's a mamzer. Let us say, the prima gadim says that in society, they have determined that this man that was bought on an Eishes Ish is a shaita, has no das. He can't stand trial, and it can happen. Let's say a rape. An Eishes Ish was raped, and she has a child. So Shiloh is the child's mamzer. Something to talk about. Let's say the person that raped this woman is not a bar das. He escaped from a mental asylum. And he's mishugna, just does not have brains in his head. He's a mishugna, does not in society called a bar. He's a shaita lahalacha. So the prima gadim has a suffik lahalacha that the child is not a mamzer. fascinating. Even though the ish is an ashes ish, or let's say a son and a mother incest, like that type of situation, and the child of one of the parents, one of the partners is not a bar das, so the prim godim has a suffix that in order for there to be a status of a mamzer, the parents must be b'nei das. Very big chiddush. It would result in a very big leniency in some situations where you have stories like this. Next shaila: should an abortion be done on a child that you know is a mamzer? A woman knows that she's carrying a mamzer. Should she do have an abortion? Tough shaila. Machlekes
apoyskim. If we know that a mamzer dies within the year, so it might be a traitor.
Who says he died during the year? Who says
a mamzer doesn't live?
That, what does that mean exactly? We see a mom that does live. Okay, let's talk about paternity test. Okay, yes, a lot of modern shilas. What? So it seems that there's more of a reason why having an abortion in Bichlal is a very tough shila. There are many different conditions, parameters in the rules of when it's permitted, it's not permitted, and what stage in the pregnancy, and what risk the child poses to the mother. There's no catch-all answer to abortion in halacha. It's an extremely complex question in abortion. Every situation is different, and this is another factor, another variable in the shaila. Another variable.
A woman is raped and she wants to have the baby.
Well, right. Well, in a chanami. So then, if she wants to the baby, let's say she doesn't want to have the baby. So is she allowed to have an abortion? Bichlal, is a woman allowed to have abortion? Let's say within a certain period of time. I don't know the parameters. Every the different shittas on this. I'm not talking about when the child's already a bar kayama. I'm talking about very early. I'm talking the very early stage. So is she allowed to? And going in a case where there's no threat to the mother. We're not dealing with a situation where the child's already. Dealing with
mental
the child,
threat.
We're dealing. Okay, so that's also mental. It can also be a threat. There's also a child, but let's deal with a situation where the child is at a very early stage of the pregnancy. So there is grounds in halacha that a woman is allowed to have an abortion at a certain point in time. Everything, and then there are reasons why halacha not. But this is definitely appears to be an important variable in the decision. If the child that she's carrying is a mamzer, and then they will be on the fence. There are different shittas in the place. Some say yes, some say not, and the child also happens to be a mamzer, that may throw the halacha in one direction to be megal. It's not just tam, a mamzer is something which you totally ignore, it's not a factor. I just want to point out that it is a variable according to many poskim, because what kind of lo yava, it says in the Torah, lo yava mamzer b'kahal Hashem. Okay, let's talk about another, a paternity test. Okay, let's say we have a child that is born. And the mother, and there's really a question: who is the father? Okay, the woman was living living with other men, but she was also married to her husband, and don't really know for sure who is. They don't really know for sure is the. So, can a paternity test determine the status of a person halacha if he is a mamzer or he is the child of the father?
What? He was her husband, right?
What? Yeah, once the woman was, let's say you're right, once she was mezana, according to halacha, she's no longer allowed to be with her husband. Let's say they didn't follow the rules. Okay, after the fact, okay, it's now the bar mitzvah, and now everyone was chayzer. Let's say the parents got divorced, make everything nice and clean. The parents got divorced, and now they're having a bar mitzvah, and everyone is chayzer b'shuva, and now it bothers them. It bothers them. They have a child here. He's becoming a man. He's entering society. These are mice. These are mice in the Chol Yom, these stories. And here we have a child that's becoming into Klal Yisrael, and the woman and the husband know that they were not 100% when they were married 13 years ago, and they really do not know with certainty if this child is who the father of this child is.
Wait until the bar mitzvah to find out.
Yeah, lo yitzuya. Let's say the boy is getting married now. Let's say the boy is getting married. So it's a very big shaila. You know, the child wants to marry a bas shal, comes to shidduch, and we have to make a determination: is he a Jew? Is he a mamzer? He's a mamzer. His prospects for shidduchim are severely limited. It's a very sad story. So the solution is technology. Let's go to the doctor. Let's go to the lab, and they'll do a test, and they'll determine the father. Now, could be that this sefer is a bit outdated. I don't know when it was. I'm sure by now there's new technology. But what he writes over here, it's kedai at least the yisoid, what he says over here. It seems that in the olden days, the way they did the paternity test is through blood. Is that still true today? Today they could probably do DNA, they could probably take a strand of hair, and they can figure out who the father is. Is that true today?
Yes.
Okay, so he's talking over here that the standard, he must be old safer, I don't know, that the way they did was the blood.
Blood. Blood type, you see.
Not blood type, it seems more blood. And he says that the accuracy of proving is not 100%. It's at best 99%. There's always room for error. Now, I don't know if that's true today.
Yeah, that's true today too.
Yeah?
More than 99%, but it's never 100%.
Never? DNA is not 100%?
Never. Nothing is 100%.
Yeah?
Because you mix up the DNA with somebody else then?
No, now I'm talking about mixing up. Let's assume you don't mix it up.
It's a very, very high probability, but it's not 100%.
Okay, so it could be very true.
It's not 100%.
You do hear in the news a lot of stories about DNA testing in the news where people with the jury is brainwashed that the DNA, the testing is accurate, and they've shown that a lot of these cases, the DNA is hocus pocus. The DNA.
I think it's the other way around, that they're proving innocence using DNA.
Right. No, but there have been cases in the past where they prove guilty through DNA, and then they've shown now that.
I don't know where you have these examples.
They only prove innocent through DNA? But there's no such thing today as proving DNA with guilt?
I've never heard of it.
No, they didn't have. I didn't have anything personal.
Yeah, I've been watching the same shows I've been watching. What? No, I'm not talking about contamination and corruption. I'm talking about even the testing stuff. All right, whatever it is. Whatever it is, be that as it may.
They don't say 100% because of
the liability. Okay, so this is, I don't know how far this goes, and I don't know, technology has changed, but the aside is a aside that is worthy to be absorbed and appreciated. What he says over here, this principle takes up 20 pages over and over in a million different scenarios back and forth. Chazal have a principle, and the principle is Roiv Be'ilois Achar Habal. In the olden days, the good old days before there was technology, before there was DNA, before there was anything, and you had, this was a shaila, this was always a shaila. Go back to the time of Chazal, there was a shaila. A woman was not faithful, and she has a child, and she does not know, is the child her from the father, is the child from the man that she was mezana with. This is ancient. So what did they go to the Beis Din? So the Beis Din says, well, did you also live with your husband at that same time? The same time that you were fooling around? Were you with your husband? Yes. So the rule is, there's a rule, Roiv be'ilois achar habal. The child, if the Torah, lo nidna Torah lamalachei hashores. You have a child. The child is a suffik mamzer. We don't care what the DNA says. Halacha enters the picture. Halacha says, suffik. A suffik is mutter. Yeah.
That's basically saying, probability-wise, It should be okay. So why reject the probability of the DNA?
Exactly. So the answer is exactly what I'm coming to. Exactly. Now, so what do we have today? Today you have DNA. You have this testing. If you would say to me, someone ignorant like me, a layman, I would say, well, the DNA testing is 100%, right? I mean, you don't 100%. So it's suffik versus fadai. You have a woman who has a shaila, she has a question, and she's not exactly sure, so you, on the one hand, you can say that the child's A-okay. Roiv bila sachar habal. But you'll say, mitzat sheni, you went to the laboratory, you went to the doctor says, these are the results. The results indicate that child's a mamzer. Ein safik moitze midei vadai. Along come all the modern day paiskim, it seems. And again, I told you, this one, the same was, you have to know if today it's true as well, because the technology is probably way ahead, light years ahead. No! Because even with all the technology and what he's writing over here, no doctor, no scientist will tell you that it's 100%. it's always 99%. There's always a possibility that there can be something off. So therefore, it's one roiv versus another roiv. So you're going to start telling me, well, this roiv is a roiv 99.9999, whereas this roiv is a roiv of 51. So it does. It seems that halacha does not differentiate between 51 versus 99.999. That's what it seems the consensus is. Maybe you'll find out. Again, we got the principles. I just want to lay out some of the yesodas. To go to the details, you can't generalize. Obviously, every situation is different. But this is something that he presents here with a lot of tkifos in this sefer. That bizman hazeh, there is DNA. DNA in halacha is roiv. In many situations, not all, we're not talking about a situation where the woman is not living with her husband anymore, she's estranged from her husband. We're talking about when she's still with her husband. There's also many times in halacha, many situations where we rely upon roiv bila sachar habal. Okay, then he says something else that doesn't very interesting. I don't know if this applies anymore, but he says that in the olden days, a lot of these tests that were done using blood. The Gemara says there are three partners in a person. The Hashem gives the neshama. The father gives all the white matter, whatever that means, the bones, the hair. And the mother gives the red matter. And the Gemara explains the red matter is the blood and the flesh. Therefore, we have a collision course between science and halacha. Because in science, the blood is going to make the determination who is the father. And in halacha, in agada, the words of agada in achanami, but agada, you don't necessarily paskin, not like agada, it's just when agada contradicts, that's a topic in of itself, can you pass it from agada? That's one of Reisman's pet projects. You know, that's one of his big things, halacha versus agada, which is the determination, that's a big tsugya, but we have a collision course. Because in agada, at least in the Gemara, the mother is in charge of the blood. The father, it's not his domain. So science is using blood. So therefore, to make someone a mamzer, you know, we have a suffix. We don't know. We don't know, is this person a mamzer, not a mamzer? The ramifications are so enormous. What he is. First, it's also mominous. Who gets the Yerusha, not Yerusha, who's the father. Let's say the father is a multimillionaire, and the father of the mamzer, who would be the mamzer, is a pauper. And then the multibillionaire dies, he's out in the street, this guy. There's a shiloh of mominous also, but the shiloh, of big shiloh, who can he marry? We have a collision course. Who's to say that just because the scientists tell you that he's a mamzer, we follow what it says in science when the Torah says something else? So that's part of the big debate, science versus halacha. Okay, that we're not that. First of all, you should know that a woman is not neman to say her child's a mamzer. Right. The only one that's neman to say his child is a mamzer is a father. And this is parasha as well. Yakir. It says that kiyodu lo li ben ahu ben asnua. You're not allowed to the son who gets the pishnayim ki ben or ahuva. Kiyin ben asnua yakir. We learn from the word yakir as halach, and it's a very big chiddush. The clue with this is that if a father says my child is a mamzer, now wait, let's analyze. Wait a minute, your child's a mamzer, and you were living with your wife after you knew he's a mamzer. You still married to her. You were married for many years afterwards. We have a principle. Ein oda mesim atzmoi rasha. You cannot make yourself into a rasha. So you, especially to prohibit someone else. So it's a contradiction. How can you say your child's a mamzer and say that you were done an avera by living with your wife? So ein achanami, the Mepharshim say, that's exactly why we need the gezeres hakosav yakir. Yakir is a gezeres hakosav. A father has the power to reveal the yichus of his children, even when it involves making himself into a rasha. A father, we paskin, always has the ability to say that his child is a mamzer, but not a mother. A mother, not. a child himself, if he comes to it and says, I want to confess to the world, I'm a mamzer. What is the halacha? He's really in a lot of trouble because he becomes usher both ways. He can't marry anyone. Mitzad echad, he can't marry a ma. He can't marry a regular Yisrael because he made himself, he prohibited the thing upon himself. But he can also, another mason atzmei rasha, but atzmei rasha, which means that maybe you're not really a mamzer, so you can't marry a mamzeres. So the person comes along and says that he is a mamzer, that's the worst thing possible. He is putting himself in a situation where he's nishtahi nishtaher. Alright, there's a lot more. I believe there will be more tomorrow. Maybe. We'll see tomorrow. We'll stop here.